Well, Jesus says in John 7:37, he says on the last, well, first of all, John 7:37, it says on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink." Yeah, there's no notes tonight. This is just... Thank you, Lord. Yes, so we're coming to you tonight, Lord. Verse 38 says, "Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." Rivers of living water. Again, he is more real. We're in the eternity. We are in eternity right now. Mm-hmm. In Jeremiah 2:13, because I was looking up about rivers and waters today, God said he is the spring of living water. And God refers to himself as the spring of living water. In the Amplified Classic, he says he is the fountain of living water. In Ezekiel 47, verse 1 through 12, we've been going over this in our prayer times on Friday prayer, those of you who came to Friday prayer. But right now we are combining Friday prayer into Wednesday nights. And so this can look like a prayer meeting. This can look like just worship. And by the way, imagine our worship team up here. I was tonight. If you notice right here, here's a vision. We have our vision boards around. Oh, go ahead. Come on up, Pastor.
This is our new keyboard. So don't be moved by what you see, but here it is. Amen. This is vision. All of this is vision. So again, we do this. I know you guys last year put together vision boards for yourselves, things that you're, desiring, believing God for. But this is for the church. We are believing for a building, preparing a place for his presence. We started off in the basement and now to the hotel, which there was just the one room. And now we're in this place, and it's a step up. And we have a side room over here for Super Kid Academy. And I have an office over here. We have a little foyer greeting area, a little room for the book table, and we don't have to move in and out. And we're so thankful for that. But yeah. That there's so much more that is needed with all of the different classrooms and things, and obviously for a worship team. And so this keyboard that we have selected, I was working on this here over the last week, but we've done a lot of research, and you may have seen them in different worship videos, but this is a Nord Stage 4 keyboard. It also does a lot of different stuff. It has all these different synthesizers, organ, and it has the capacity that even as we grow to 1,000 people, this can scale up with you the whole way and serve as the flagship. Now, you can get other piano keyboards that are lesser than this, but this one has the capacity to kind of anchor the whole thing. And so this is a really cool thing. So in Jesus' name, we have this keyboard. Amen. There's nothing too good for the house of God. And so it's only $6,000. So if anyone wants to write a $6,000 check, we'll have it here in a week or two. Amen. But this is it. This is, so we're believing for phase two for $100,000 to come in. But this is part of it. And there's a lot of different things that we're doing, where we can, we're taking steps, but this is the next step, and this is one of those things where we could buy something lesser, but I don't want to buy it twice. Amen. We buy it once, we buy it twice. This will last us till Jesus comes. Yeah. Amen. Hey, we don't have to, do this again and again, but praise God. But we have our worship team because, again, I really envision, and I see this, more and more and more worship nights. Worship nights, not just, worship before Sunday. This isn't, praise God, this isn't just something that we do as a preliminary, to get to the preaching and teaching. The worship part of service is just as much a part of service as the teaching and the preaching. It's all important. That all goes together. It's all the work of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Amen. He said that we enter into his courts with praise and with thanksgiving. When you go back in the Old Testament, they had anointed, obviously, ministers, but they had full-time ministry of psalmists, you know, horns and instruments. They were on staff full time. This is their job. This is what their profession was, is to play in the temple, to make music. Amen. So this is all a part of it. So praise God. This is, we have it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're just calling that in.
Amen. Glory to God. And like Pastor said, we don't want to do something twice. And so he's an excellent researcher. And you know, and like you said, it's on purpose. And so that we don't have to, when we go to the next level, buy it again and buy it again. And if we had to do something like that, you know, maybe that could go into the kids area or something. You know, there's always, because of believing for multiple classrooms and multiple rooms, there will be multiple uses for, we'll need more than one keyboard, put it that way. We will. Yeah. And so, praise the Lord. God is good. I'm listening because there was something that we talked about today, and I was up at 2 this morning and starting to study and read and pray and believe God. And we believe in the gifts of the Spirit here. We believe in tongues and interpretation. I'm gonna read that because this is part of sowing into this move of God, and the Lord's leading me here tonight because there's a message to share. But right now, we pray for hungry hearts. We want to be hungry. We believe to see the signs, wonders, and miracles. Yes, Jesus is coming back. But what's going to get somebody's attention more to get them out of darkness into light? We believe, and Dorothy was just sharing even from the service on Saturday, we believe for a great harvest of souls into the kingdom. And we will see that throughout eternity. And then we will be rejoicing more and more. And no, this was not in vain, because 100 years from now, we're not going to be here. Did you have something? Thank you, Lord. Praise God. And so we are praying for an awakening in this area. We want to see people get into the plan of God for their life. This is so important. It's such a critical time. And this is why we're here, and we're ready to facilitate that move of God. And I'm going to tell you, this building is not going to hold it. This building is not going to hold it. We're going to see people out the door, way out here, if we're even still here.
Yes.
What's that? We have to see ourselves. I want each and every one of you to. Yes, we're gonna pray over you tonight. But I also want you all to see yourselves laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover. I want you to see yourself giving that word in season to him who's weary. I want you to see yourself doing these things, because God's not holding anything against you from our past, from, you know, what we did yesterday or this morning. When we're in Christ, it's his qualification. Praise God. He's the one doing it. We're just the vessel. And so when we yield to him and get our mind and our eyes off of ourselves, it's not me, Paula. It's not what I can do. And oh, you know, I'm not good enough in this or that or the other. No, we look to him, like what we talked about in the beginning. We're looking to him and we focus on him, and he wants to touch you. He wants to touch that person. He wants to set them free. And so he's going to do it in and through us. Praise God. And so we are hungry to see that move of God. Thank you, Lord. And we are seeing it, and we're going to see it more and more. But I'm talking about seeing it. Somebody getting up out of a wheelchair. Somebody's leg growing back. I know some people around town, they've had a stroke. They're missing a leg. They're missing an arm or a finger. Doesn't matter. A tooth. I've always seen for the longest time people's teeth growing back in services. I know. Glory to God. Praise God. Hair. Whatever it is, but what's gonna get the attention of the people and say, this is God. He's a mighty God. And so the gifts of the Spirit, they are for good, they are for profit. And the Holy Spirit, it says, but verse 7, 1 Corinthians 12:7, But to each one is given the manifestation of Holy Spirit, the evidence, the spiritual illumination of the Spirit for good and for profit. Okay, and so we're going to say this over this. To one, over us, to one is given and through the Holy Spirit the power to speak a message of wisdom, and to another the power to express a word of knowledge and understanding according to the same Holy Spirit. To another, the wonder-working faith by the same Spirit. To another, the extraordinary powers of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophetic insight, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose. To another, the ability to discern and distinguish between the utterances of true spirits and false ones. And to another, various kinds of unknown tongues and the ability to interpret those tongues. And we've seen some of these in operation, but we want to see them in a greater way. And so I do have this prophecy somewhere up here that I want to read. Praise God. When there's a prophetic word, there's not an expiration date on it. This is Kenneth Hagin, prophetic word. He's in heaven now. But this was from 1983. And when it's a spirit-inspired word of God, there is no expiration date on it. In fact, when we put this word in our mouth, we're declaring it into our atmosphere. Praise God, we're speaking these miracles into existence. And so, I'm just checking. I'm going to read the whole thing. In this move that is about to come, and we're even on the edge of it right now, it will not be altogether something new that we've never seen. It's a combination of everything you've seen put together, plus a little bit more in this move of God. So imagine we're having a move of God and we are in the move. And I also want to say and interrupt in this, the prayers that have been prayed, the ground that has been broke up, because we came here and you can sense there's hard spiritual ground, religion and those kinds of things. We've experienced some of that. So it takes prayer. There's been people praying for a long time, many years. I know my mom has, Dorothy, others have been praying for a long time, many years. And then here we come, praise God, and He has a plan. He has a plan for each one of us. And so in this move of God that is just about to spring upon us, there will be a manifestation of casting out demons. Has anyone seen a demon cast out before?
Brotherhood.
Praise God. Well, get ready. Let's see that. And we don't have to get spooked by it, right? No, we don't. We've heard stories of people slithering out the door and things like that because those demons just didn't want to come out, but we're not scared of them. Greater is He who's in us than he who's in the world. Now, some have drawn back from casting out demons, and the Spirit of God said, I began a move along that line a few years ago, and men aborted the move. They mixed some of their own thinking in on it, and they tried to control it and do it according to their pattern and according to the way that we think it ought to be done. But you haven't seen anything like it yet of what you're going to see in dealing with demons. For demons are let loose upon the earth. They're going about as never before, because they know their time is short. And so in this multiplication, this advance of demon activity, there will be the activity of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. We're getting somewhere here, right? Praise God. How many of you know there's a real heaven? There's a real hell. There's a real spiritual realm we're dealing with right here. Demons that have been harassing men, demons that have held ministries in check will leave. And you have not seen yet what you will see in the area of dealing with demons, casting out demons, exercising authority over demons. And we're about to step in it like we'd step through a door into another room. So as I'm reading this, just imagine, see us doing these things. And secondly, saith the Spirit of God, you have not seen the revival of divine healing that you're about to see. Oh, yes, you saw those that I raised up. You've seen men and women mightily used of my Spirit. I sent them forth as a pilot program to train you. But many just looked at them, lifted them up, the men, and some of them were lifted up in pride, and the anointing left them. Not here. Say, not here. And some became money-minded and lost the anointing. But there will arise a group in this day that's a brand new breed. Say, that's us. They'll not be greedy of filthy money. They'll not be wanting to attract attention upon themselves. Nope. They would care less whether God uses them. They'd rather God use you. And God will not just use ministers. He'll use laymen. He'll use all of you. And there will be a revival of divine healing such as you have not seen in your lifetime or read about or heard about, saith the Lord. Who said that? The Lord, he said this, and a revival of the supernatural, not only the supernatural in casting out devils, not only the supernatural in healing the sick, not only the supernatural in speaking with other tongues, but the supernatural in the realm of the seen realm. Men will see the glory of God. A cloud will hang over certain congregations, even the church building, for days at a time. And everybody that passes by, sinner and saint alike, will say, well, what in the world is that? I've never seen anything like that. And there will be in other places the fire of the Spirit. Oh, yes, in the spirit realm, some of us have seen it. In the spirit realm, we've been conscious of the fire of God, but the fire will actually come into manifestation. And there will be people, sinners as well as saints, that will see fire all over the heads of the people. There will be people driving down the street or down the highway, and they'll see fire on top of buildings. And they'll come and say, what does all this mean? But you see, the Lord will use signs of his presence to bring people in the last days into the fullness of the Spirit and into full salvation. And signs. What kind of signs? Miraculous signs in the realm of the spirit. And then they'll be manifested in the realm of the physical. And the glory of God will fall. And the power of God will be in manifestation. And I have one more page. And I'm not just reading this, but I'm declaring it. We are in agreement for this. And men will, and women too, hallelujah to that. Praise God, ladies. Will even be transported like Philip was and found in another place. And great shall be the reward thereof. For the Lord God is the same God today as he was yesterday. His power has not diminished and his name is still the same. Today he can make the iron axe head float. Today he can divide the river and two for two men to cross over to the other side. Today he can feed 5,000 with a little boy's lunch. He is the miracle working God. Brag on him, lift him up, draw attention to him, tell about how great he is. Get up in faith and tell what great things he's going to do. And he'll move and keep his word with you. And many shall be astonished. But the greatest miracle all is that there will be so many fish caught in the net that the nets can't hold them. There won't be church houses enough to hold the people. For the purpose of it all is that you may be fishers of men. Hallelujah. Quit fishing. Quit fishing in your own bathtub. There's not any fish in your own bathtub. Go out where the fish are and throw out the net. Not the hook, the net, and pull it in and bring them in. And the glory of the Lord shall shine and the end time shall come. And you'll stand in the place of ministry that you've not stood in before and will stand in the place that's been ordained for you from before the foundation of the earth. And if it were to be, it could be. If it could be, it could be told you. If we were able to tell you in human language that which will transpire in some of your lives, your mind would not be able to comprehend it. It would almost blow your mind, but you'll see it. You'll rejoice in it. You'll be glad of it. It's just out there a little ways in front of you. Be faithful, be joyous, and rejoice in the Lord always, and he'll bring it to pass. Who's doing it? He's doing it. We're saying yes to him, but he is doing it. Many shall go and tell the story, and his great glory show. The power of God and manifestation shall be the gifts of the Spirit. And we read those. The manifestation of his Spirit into full potential shall come the ministry gifts, the apostle and the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor and teacher too shall flow as one. Ha, 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 ha. I could just see him laughing right there. One body, one spirit shall go forth to conquer and do his deeds, and great shall be the reward thereof. Thank him. Glory to God. Now let me give you a further word of wisdom and advice. Being conscious of a mighty move in your spirit, wanting and desiring to do the will of God, but don't try to do it yourself. I love this part right here. Just learn to relax and to flow with the Spirit. Don't try to figure it out in your head. What does he want me to do? Just learn to relax and flow with the Spirit. It'll take care of itself. You don't have to worry. You see, moving into that place of ministry or whatever it is, whether it's full-time ministry or pulpit ministry or personal ministry or whatever your place is in the body of Christ, moving into that place is fueled by prayer, fired by the Spirit and ignited with his glory. But you see, if there's no fuel there, there's no place to ignite. You see, it's like the furnace. There's a pilot light there that lights that fire thing. And then when the whole thing has become ignited, then the heat flows out. Ha, ha, ha. Can you see what he's saying? Fueled by prayer, fired by the Spirit, ignited with his glory. Hallelujah. You see, if there's no fuel there, there's no fire. If there's no fuel, there's nothing to fire. Fueled by prayer. We need the spirit of intercession on our church. We've been praying. Thank you, Lord. We've been praying, but we have to continue to pray. You have something, Pastor? Thank you, Lord. So let's pray over this. Thank you, Lord. And we've talked about this before as we pray in tongues here. Why praying in tongues is the perfect prayer language. Thank you, Lord.
So as we do, these things don't just happen. The Spirit is always willing. Are we? You and I, we're there establishing witnesses. You know, it takes somebody to say yes to God, willing to be willing, willing to step out, willing to hear, willing to obey. Probably not going to post anything for this, but amen. But you know, so again, these things have to be hungered for. They have to be desired for. All of these things that were read in this prophecy, we taught 2 years ago on the glory of God, mm-hmm. and we were going through the Old Testament accounts. And these things, you saw this in the Old Testament. The children of Israel, the temple, and these different things. You know how the glory of the Lord was there in manifestation over them for a very, very, very long time. And even at the temple and the dedication, these things, they said the glory would come into that place and it would be so thick that that the priests and the people, they could not stand. I mean, they were just out in the floor. It was so thick and so heavy. And even over the years, I've heard about these things so many times over and over and over again, the fire of God, the glory of God. And even what they're talking about over buildings, you know, even in the last 100 years, you know, we've seen those things where, you know, people were driving down the street and they saw a fire on the building, called the fire department. They come out there and they can see the fire, but there's no fire. Amen. And there's just so many different things like this. And so again, when we're talking about the glory, what is the glory? In its simplest form, it is the manifested presence of God, heavy, weighty, with everything good. It is literally heaven on earth. That's exactly what it is. God himself just showed up. Why? He's invited in. when you saw this in particular in the Old Testament in the temple after the wilderness, after they've entered in, they would come together and just a powerful time of worship. And in that place, the glory would show up. The glory would show up. He says, I inhabit the praises of my people. He will visit every hungry heart. So this can be an individual manifestation, or it can be a citywide manifestation. Amen.
Uh-huh. I'm telling you, we're going to see it.
So we're going to keep talking about these things. Yeah. Amen. So that we can have faith for them. Because again, these things don't just happen. You know, some dead church somewhere, this thing doesn't just show up. You know, somebody's praying, somebody's believing, somebody's aware of, hey, this is available. This is what God wants to do. And if it's going to happen anywhere, it's going to happen here. Amen. There's some things I want to do, some studies on the revivals, and maybe share some of those things. You know, we talk about, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of the Welsh Revival. John Evan Roberts, just a man. And again, in that area, sin was abounding, let's say, you know, a lot of drunks. I mean, just all different types of crime and all this stuff going on. But here's one man hungry for a move of God. And he decided, I'm just going to be that move of God.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so he went to the church house every day, all day, and prayed for revival until they saw revival. They said so many folks started coming to the church, getting saved, repenting, changing their lives. He said bars all across town shut down.
Yeah, they did.
I mean, cleaned them out. There was no more business while they're all in church.
Isn't that when also the circus came to town and
a couple people went, and nothing.
I mean, they just...
No one had anywhere else they'd rather be. Wow, the glory's there. God is there.
We're going to see Amen. This, guys.
And so again, but it has to start with us. It has to start with somebody that says, you know what? I'm going to be that move of God. I'm going to stand in faith. I'm going to pray, you know. And so this prophecy, you know, we've gone over this many times, but we're going to print this out, and we need to get copies into all your hands. And I want you to be looking at this every day, you know. And when you see this, yeah, we're praying over this. This is us. This is our church.
See yourself.
This is our Amen. Community. This is what we're going to see, because again, you know, we've come here, and again, I grew up in Texas, down in the Bible Belt, you know, but things have even changed down there, you know, with a lot of different ideas and stuff. But coming out here, I'm really surprised by the complacency that I've seen in the church, but even all those who aren't going to church, maybe they went to church at some point in time, but I talked to folks and just very, 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 very apathetic. Just, you know, yeah, no big deal. As if this life goes on forever somehow. And it's like, it don't.
Right.
It don't. You know, and even for those of us that are in the kingdom, it's like, we're here for a reason. Don't you realize that? You know, and this is not just about, you know, the pastor ministry. No, this is about everybody has a ministry. Yeah. Every single one of us. And it's like, the whole reason we're here on this earth is so that we can discover what the plan of God is and go get in it. And in particular, to get in it corporately. Amen. To get in it, because there's things that we have to take care of business of corporately so that they can happen privately. And we speak peace over that baby in Jesus' name. Amen. She's praying in the spirit. Yes. But I just want to take a minute here, and we're going to pray in the spirit. But the word says in Romans chapter 8:26, he says, so too the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weaknesses, for we do not know what prayer to offer, nor how to offer it worthily as we ought. But the Spirit himself goes to meet our supplication or our request and pleads in our behalf with unspeakable yearnings and groanings, even too deep for utterance. And he who searches the hearts of men knows what is in the mind of the Holy Spirit, what his intent is, because the Spirit intercedes and pleads before God in behalf of the saints according to and in harmony with God's will. Now, there's things that you can see regarding any situation, and in your mind, you can interpret this or that, but how much do you really know? How much do you really know? Holy Spirit knows perfectly how to pray in every situation. So there's times, you know, yes, we'll pray. We're going to pray in English. We're going to pray with our understanding. Paul wrote this, you know, in more than one way. He says, yeah, I'm going to pray with my understanding, but I'm going to pray in the Spirit too. Because there's things that I don't see, depths I don't understand, but in the Spirit, by faith, I can touch God. By faith in the Spirit, we can literally pray heaven and earth together to see this thing done, whatever it is. Amen. So we're going to pray over these things. We're praying over this prophetic word. We are contending for it. Again, when the prophetic word comes, and again, we've had people give us words and different things like that. They don't just happen automatically. Again, a prophetic word is an insight into what God wants to do. He says, this is what I'm wanting to do. This is what I'm willing to do. But you're going to have to cooperate with it. You're going to have to. So again, every word is the will of God, but it takes somebody that is going to cooperate with that word to say, you know what? I'm going to receive that in my body, in my house, in my family, in my church, in my community. Praise God. So Father, we just come before you tonight in the name of Jesus. And yes, Lord, we're asking you for a move of God. We're asking you, Lord, for these things, this prophetic word. You said that men will see the glory of God. Yes, the natural men, the unsaved men, even as they're coming down the street, they're going to see the glory of God. Yes, we receive that. We receive the revival of the supernatural. We receive, Lord, even just the casting out of devils. Devils ought not be comfortable in your presence. Yes. Yes, you can almost expect demons to manifest in your presence because they are not comfortable there. And when they do, cast them out in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, get out. Yes, not only the supernatural in healing the sick, not only in speaking with other tongues, but in the supernatural realm, coming together into the seen realm. Again, in the realm of the Spirit, yes, the glory is here, but we're going to see it in greater manifestation, and even with the, and even as in an open vision, we're going to see over into the realm of the Spirit and see these things. Men driving by are going to see these things. And so, yes, we are asking you for this, Father. We are hungry for you. We are hungry for more of you. Yes, we are hungry to see revival. We're hungry to see the awakening in every heart, the light dawning upon each and every one that says, no, I'm just not okay. I'm not okay just going about day after day after day after day. What's my purpose? Why am I here? No, there is an awakening. There is a wake up call in the Spirit right now, and we send it out. We send out that clarion call in the Spirit. Be awakened in the name of Jesus. Yes, embarasto no querista, brazeri inasto o soco o stara alala masihihihi. Yes, you said men will see the glory of God, and a cloud will hang over certain congregations, even the church building, for days at a time. Lord, if you're going to do it anywhere, we receive it right here, right now. We are hungry. We are hungry. We are hungry. Yes. Hey, basto go osta. Grace to sanam nasa o darara braste esti. Masi andara braste ed broste ista. Even for days at a time. Lord, we're asking for this. We receive that. And you said that everybody that passes by, sinner and saint alike, will say, what in the world is that? Yes, 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 yes. Yes, the fire of the Holy Spirit in the realm, in this natural realm, seeing it. Hambrasta cobra ista. Yes, and in that place we receive signs, wonders, miracles. Isto socorosta nasi eda brasti. Rosta no coosta ada brasi. Braste la noso ocura rarara basara. And yes, we as a church, each one of us, we yield ourselves to the gifts of the Spirit. Yes, it's as you will, but Lord, we're hungry. Yes, we are here. Lord, use us. Lord, if you want to do this, we're willing. Each one of us, Yes, and as you lead us, we'll step out in faith. Yes, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, wonder working or special faith, the gifts of healings, tongues and interpretation of tongues. All of these gifts, Lord, we receive them. We yield to them in Jesus' name. Madara ishtara o koblo dobre ishtara brasekerista. Ore brasti kereste keradare iste. Maseheha. Mbara aro o koroste nanda. Ba da de da la loro odoro brocara adaste. Ahaha. Haha basto korose hede. O bobo bowosta ha, ma hehe da brosta sto koroste hede, e dada blande sto soro ha, hoste hode, hashto hose, o nadoko, o bra, ha ye, yala brosto uka, ma si hike mando ho, onda brosto jala prodada brakete, basa ho da brasta. You said they'll just be driving down the street, driving down the highway. Yes, they're going to see it. They're going to see the fire. They're going to see the fire. They're going to see, oste kobreshti, that there will be an awakening. There is a revival. Oste stebrasika brasto oste, branda da 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 bra kobrosto sto kobreshti. Breste stike riste de didi, breste la da brocara da deste, mora stiste.
Everyone has their prayer language.
Ora brasti stida brasti hidi, masti stika la da da de, breste stokoroste stida da de. And so in the Pentecostal church, I don't care what Pentecostal church you go to in this entire world, when you go in that church, everybody in that church will sing and or pray in tongues. Every single one of them. Why? They preached it. People had faith for it. So they just didn't know any better.
We didn't know any better. Don't leave home without it.
The last church we came from, a couple thousand people, they preached it, demonstrated it. And we as a church, we 2,000 people all at the same time praying, but then even singing in tongues.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Is everybody's tongues different?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. It's the Holy Spirit, you know, so it's not that it, so there's a, we did a series on it 2 years ago. If you want to go back on our website or on YouTube, you can go through it in detail and, amen. But yes, it is for everybody. It's for every believer. So again, when you go to the Great Commission in Matthew 16, Jesus does not list the 12 gifts of the Spirit, but he does say tongues. It says, you will go in my name, you will preach the gospel. And then it says, in my name, you'll cast out demons, pick up serpents, you drink any deadly thing, it'll not harm you. You will speak with new tongues, and you will lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. That is a very different thing than the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the 9 gifts of the Spirit that we went through earlier. That's a different application. That is for public. Tongues is for every believer. Paul writes about this over and over and over. He says, yes, pray in tongues. He says, by the way, I'm praying in tongues more than you all. Again, not to say, you know, that I'm, look at me, I'm so cool, I pray in tongues more than you. He says, no, you're praying in tongues. You need to pray more.
Yeah.
He's writing this to the church at Corinth, not just one or two. And then Jude, who was or is the half-brother of Jesus, writes over in Jude 1:20, says, you, beloved, you build yourself up in your most holy faith, doing what? Praying in the Holy Ghost. This is my private prayer language. There's a different operation for a tongue interpretation publicly. Amen. We believe for those things too, and we have done that a few times in the past. Praise God.
Tell her about how, you know. Jesus.
Yes, yes. So we're not going to do the whole teaching, but we are just introducing that tonight. So in this, just really briefly, quickly teaching on this, in John chapter 20, verse 22, this is after Jesus' resurrection. He's not yet ascended. He's just resurrected. He goes to the disciples. Again, well, I'll try to teach too much. Jesus, John 20, 22 or 21, then Jesus said to them again, peace to you, just as the Father has sent me forth, so I am sending you. And having said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. This is the new birth. This is exactly what happened Genesis 2:7 when God forms Adam from the dust of the ground, and then he breathes on him his Zoe life. And with that, Adam is awakened, Adam is born at that moment. This is exactly what happened that day at the new birth. God got his spirit back into a man. His sons are now restored back to what he intended in Genesis 2:7. What Adam lost, Jesus, in this moment right here, it is now restored. The church is born on this at this time. But then, so again, that's the new birth. That's the Holy Spirit within. So when you and I confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, this is exactly what happens. The new birth occurs. Old man dies the death of the cross. In Christ, I become a new creation. And now we're talking about in Galatians 5, 22, 23, you see the nine fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. So love, joy, peace, patience. So this is God's nature. This is his character. This is his identity. This is deposited into your spirit at the new birth. That's in you, not on you. Think about Jesus. Jesus is born of the virgin. Apart from the curse of Adam, he's born of a virgin. God imparts his life, his spirit into Mary. 9 months later, Jesus is born. Jesus is righteous. He's perfect. He's holy. He's beautiful. There's nothing in Jesus that's unrighteous. And yet for 30 years, nothing happens in his life. The scripture says he grows in grace. At age 30, though, he's baptized in the Jordan River, and John the Baptist says in an open vision, he says, I saw Holy Spirit come from heaven and rest on Jesus. Ooh. Like a dove.
Amen.
On Jesus. That is when his earthly ministry began.
Yeah.
Holy Spirit was already in him from Mary's womb, but he did no ministry until Holy Spirit came on him. At that moment, he says the Spirit thrust him out into the wilderness, 40 days and nights. He fasted. And then at that time, Satan came to try to tempt him. Couldn't do it. Satan, it's written, it's written, it's written. Now get out of here. And Satan left him. Jesus, when you go over here in John 14, you know, at the Last Supper, he says, Satan found nothing in me. He couldn't touch me.
Amen.
He found no inroad into my life because I never gave him any access. He didn't have it to take. Amen. But now again, so Holy Spirit comes on Jesus, anoints him for ministry. And then Jesus tells you again, exactly what that anointing was there to do. Now, one thing to note, the Bible says the very first miracle Jesus ever performed was at the wedding feast in Cana. The very first. So again, people have said, you know, Jesus as a little kid was healing his friends and raising birds and all this. That's foolishness. There's no scripture for that. There's no evidence for that. The Bible tells you the very first miracle was Cana. All right. But here Jesus, Luke 4, he comes out of the wilderness and he starts preaching and teaching and ministering. And so, all right. So in Luke chapter 4, verse 16, he says, so he came to Nazareth, which was his hometown. At this time, he had already moved to Capernaum. Jesus was living in Capernaum on the Sea of Galilee, and so now he's traveling around the nation of Israel. So he comes to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, and entered the synagogue where he went to church, as was his custom on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And so when he would go to the synagogue, when we went to church every Saturday, which is our Sunday, anyway, he would go, and he'd do this every single time, everywhere he went. It says, and there was handed to him the roll of the book of the prophet Isaiah. 800 years prior, this was written about him. He said, he opened and unrolled the book and found the place where it was written about him. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, on me, not in me,
yeah,
on me. Very different things. Again, when you go to the Greek, when we talk about Holy Spirit within and Holy Spirit upon, it's two very distinct words every single time. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Anointing is not in, it's on. So again, in the Old Testament, they would use oil and they would pour it on the priest. And so like on Aaron, he said, they poured it over the head. It just ran all over him all the way down. It's an on him. It is an empowerment. It is an equipping to do the work of the ministry. It was used on the priest in the days of old. He is the high priest.
Glory.
Jesus is the high priest. So the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. He has poured this out on me.
Amen.
Holy Spirit came on me at the Jordan River to do ministry. And now he went forth and did ministry.
Come on now.
He has anointed me to preach the good news, the gospel to the poor. Poor man, you don't have to be poor no more. He has sent me to announce release to the captives. Amen.
Amen.
You've been in bondage. Freedom.
Amen.
Freedom, liberty, and recovery of sight to the blind, naturally and spiritually, to send forth as deliver those who are oppressed, who are downtrodden, bruised, crushed, and broken down by calamity. It says to proclaim the accepted and acceptable year of the Lord, the day when salvation and the free favors of God profusely abound.
Wow.
Other translations, you go back, this is actually says to pronounce the Jubilee. Israel has this thing going back, and you'll find it throughout the Old Testament, every 50 years. So again, my family has an inheritance. There's a tract of land that belongs to the Mooney family or the Hezekiah family or whoever you are. There's a tract of land. So when I own this piece of land, I can say, you know what? I don't want to farm. I want to do something else. Brother John, I want to sell you this piece of land. And you buy it. Well, on the Jubilee, which occurs every 50 years, so maybe we're 49 years away, maybe we're 5 years away. It makes no difference. When I sell him that piece of land, when the Jubilee is announced, my land gets brought back into my hand.
Wow.
It all comes back. Whatever he paid for it, that money's gone. I hope you got good use of the land because the land is now mine once again. Or my heirs. Either way, that's their land. He says, I'm here to pronounce the Jubilee. I'm here to declare restoration of all everything that Satan stole from man in the Garden of Eden. It's your Jubilee.
Praise God.
It's your Jubilee as though sin and all of its effects never happened. No more even remembrance of it. Jubilee. Restoration. Glory to God. He says, this is what this anointing is here to do. Now, I got news for you. Just because Jesus' physical body left the earth, this anointing never left the earth. Where's that anointing today on you and I? He told you, this anointing never leaves the earth. It's on his body. Glory to God. We're here doing the exact same things under the exact same anointing if we will receive it. If we will receive it. Jesus was born again. He wasn't born again. He was just born, right? He was born the righteousness of God. We had to be reborn. Praise God. Hallelujah. So again, John 20:22, he's resurrected. He comes up, receive the Holy Spirit. Genesis 2:7 just happened all over again in the man. But then he goes on a few days later. So 40 days after his resurrection, he ascends from the Mount of Olives. 10 days later is the day of Pentecost, which is when the Holy Spirit is outpoured on all the earth, which is the fourth feast day of the Lord or of the seven, so which he fulfilled at that time. But Acts chapter 1, thank you, Lord. Verse 5, for John the Baptist baptized with water, but not many days from now you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they were assembled, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will reestablish your kingdom and restore it to Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to become acquainted with and know what time brings, which the Father has appointed by his own choice and authority and personal power, but you shall receive power. That word power is the word dunamis. It's where we get our word dynamite. And it literally means miraculous, wonder-working power. It means to be equipped with God's ability. The ability of God is going to come on you. to do what God wants done in the earth. God has found his way back into to the earth, but it's through a man, but it's literally God present on your flesh, enabling you and equipping you to do what you could never do on your own. This applies to your personal life, but it really is for the ministry life. But it'll do it all. Amen. You shall receive power, ability, efficiency, or might when the Holy Spirit has come upon. He's already in. Christ is already being formed in you. So Romans 12:2, Paul says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind so that you may prove for yourself what is the good and perfect and acceptable will of God. We're talking about Christ being formed in you, growing up into maturity, into who I am, what I have, and what I can do now that I'm in Christ. But now this takes it to another level. I'm going to come on you and give you an equipping to actually do this the way it ought to be done, the way I want it done. You have a thought about how maybe we can go out and build a building and do this and do. He said, but I've got a way. I created all this, you know, understand? I've got power to do what you could never do, or what would take you 100 years to do, I can do in the next 2 minutes. Amen. And you shall be Holy Spirit come on you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the very ends of the earth. And then he ascends. 10 days later, Pentecost. So again, Jesus has already charged them. You need to go preach the gospel. You're going to go again. Well, I keep talking about it. Let me just read it. It's because again, not all of this other stuff is not in there, but this is. Mark 16. This is the Great Commission. Verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach and publish openly the good news, the gospel to every creature or of the whole human race. He who believes and trusts in and relies on the gospel will be baptized and saved from the penalty of eternal death, but he who does not believe in the gospel will be condemned. He's already condemned. It's the gospel that will save you. But then he says, and these attesting signs will accompany everybody. No, it says these signs will accompany those who believe. What about those who don't? They won't. He's talking to the disciples here. If you believe this, it'll work. If you don't, it won't. It doesn't just happen automatically because I willed it. It happened because somebody believed it and added corresponding action and faith to it. That's when it worked. He says, these attesting signs. Again, he doesn't say all this other stuff's going to work. He says, this is what's going to happen. These signs will accompany those who believe. Number one, in my name, they will drive or cast out demons. Again, demons ought not be comfortable in your presence. You can expect, amen, when the glory of God shows up in a place, when the light shows up in a place, they're going to head for the hills, or they're going to start manifesting themselves. Oh, really? In the name of Jesus, they'll get. Amen. They have to. They're already defeated. He says they will drive out demons. Number two, they will speak in new languages. He's not talking about, you know, Greek and Hebrew and no. You don't have to. That's not a sign and a wonder to someone else to speak 32 languages. You know, people do that in the natural. You know, not me, but you know, there's people that do that. Good for them. You know, these signs, supernatural signs. Number one, you're going to cast out the devil. Number two, you're going to speak in new languages, pick up serpents. If you drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt you. Then he says they will lay their hands on the sick. They will get well. Period. And what happens? So then the Lord Jesus, after he was spoken to them, was taken up into heaven, sat down at the right hand of God. They went out, preached everywhere while the Lord kept working with them. Oh, the Lord's working with you. And what is he doing? And confirming the message by the attesting signs and miracles that closely accompanied it. And everything you see here, you see it in the book of Acts. They went and did it, and God did it. Ha ha. Hallelujah. So again, Acts chapter 1, he told them, this is what you're going to receive, Holy Spirit upon you. And so the 120, they were there together in that upper room. They're all in one accord. They're in faith. They are expecting, you know, we're going to receive this. We're going to receive this. He said, not many days from now. We know the day of Pentecost is coming, just a few more days. So Mary, his mother, you know, there's disciples, followers, family, you know, men, women. They're not all fivefold ministers. They're just believers. You know, Mary, sweet Mary, she's not a fivefold minister. She's just a believer, as so many others were. And so this wasn't just for some here or there, but it says here in Acts 2, verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost had fully come, 50 days after resurrection, they were all assembled together in one place when suddenly there came a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting, and there appeared to them tongues resembling fire. They didn't know what to call it. What is that? What is that? So the writers, it seemed like fire and tongues. So again, people have in paintings and stuff have depicted, you know, like little fire above their heads. No, that's not at all what he said. He said there's tongues resembling fire, which were separated and distributed and settled on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages, other tongues, as the Spirit kept giving them utterance. Every one of them. Now, Peter went downstairs under the power of the Holy Spirit. When you read on, preached a fiery gospel. 3,000 people get saved day one. No amphitheater, no lights, no sound, no nothing. I've been to that upper room last year in Jerusalem, and those streets over there, they're very narrow corridors. And that's a miracle that somehow you preach the gospel and in three. So again, I'm thinking people just kind of kept passing along the message that was preached, and they were getting saved. It says 3,000 people. Again, this is Peter, the same one who just a few weeks before denied Jesus three times in one night. Same. So it would seem. No, now we're talking about born again, spirit filled Peter. Makes all the difference in the world. He went from timidity and fear to a mighty man of valor. And then he has to go stand before the Sanhedrin, the same ones who had Jesus crucified, and he preaches the same gospel to them and calls them out with boldness, knowing that they have the same authority to crucify him the same they did Jesus. He said, this time I denied three times. Today, nah, I'm going to preach. Why? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me to preach. Amen. And he went about doing it, and all the rest of them did the same. Not just them, but we read about Stephen, who became the first martyr. He was just ministry of helps. He was ministry of helps. He's an usher. He's a greeter. He's just somebody going around serving bread, waiting on tables, this sort of thing. But he was full of the Spirit, the Bible says. And everywhere he went to go minister to somebody's house, you know, to just take care of daily administration, he was there ministering also the word. And people were getting saved. People were getting healed. There was miracles following.
Man.
Uh-huh. Not just the pastors, not just the apostles, everybody. Everybody. Again, all those who will believe. Glory to God. We need the Holy Spirit. Now it's the simplest thing in the world. All you got to do is ask, believe, and receive. Now this does not work. You know, Holy Spirit does not just overtake you, you know, and possess you like a demon does and start speaking through you. No, I yield. I cooperate. He is a perfect gentleman. He will provide the utterance, but I've got to speak it out of my mouth. I've got to add, so Hambreshtika, he's always on. It's me I turn off and on. He's always there. He is always there with the flow and the supply of the Holy Spirit. It's I who dip down and say, I'm going to drink. I'm going to be infilled. Amen. I'm going to pray out. I'm going to pour out. So again, Jesus said, out of your belly will flow rivers, plural, of living water. Again, how do you describe this? It's the Holy Spirit. He's alive. He's active. It's living water that's ready to gush forth. But understand there's different flows. I can pray out over somebody, over my church, over situation. I can direct tongues. And again, there is utterance to pray that out by the Spirit, just as we were doing here earlier. But there's also a flow. Again, Jude 1:20, half brother of Jesus, you beloved, you build yourself up in your most holy faith. Interesting, praying in the Holy Ghost. He's saying that's your most holy faith. He calls that faith. It takes faith to do everything in the kingdom of God. If I'm going to pray, if I'm going to do anything at all, I'm going to have to do it by faith if I'm going to get anywhere with it. So by faith, amen, whatever words, whatever syllables, they're there. As you speak them out, I'm speaking them in faith. And he says, now, first of all, you need to build yourself up. So there is a flow of the Spirit to do just that. Hey, bras, stokumdisti. You know, you've been pouring out. You're worn down about anything. You don't have to wait till you get there, but you can do it preemptively. But we can just turn inward and just pray to build ourselves up. Okay, most in us so holy. Monday, oh, robro stand da da bust it. You don't spend 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes. You know, just build yourself up. Anytime you might be feeling a little depleted. You know, you can't just pour out and pour out and pour out. At some point, you've got to put back in. We've got to spend time in worship. We've got to spend time reading the Word. And we've got to spend time. Why? Because there's a very dirty, filthy world out there. There are some very real devils. And I can't face them when I'm out of gas. Right? No, I'm being filled. So again, Ephesians 5:18 says, you be being filled with the Spirit continually. Yes, in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, pray and praise God. We build ourselves up. So, who wants to receive the Holy Ghost? Come on up here. Amen.